This is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it all.
Stop. Yeah, stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical, it's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation. Rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and raw. Here is Steve Gruber.
All right, it's Thursday, 6 minutes after the hour. Welcome to the Steve Gruber Show, the hotline number, 888-900-9966. Glad to have you along for the ride as we head toward the 4th of July. So a couple of old friends got together a couple of days ago to talk about golfing and grandkids and just hang out and catch up a little bit. Well, that's the story anyhow, which normally would not be news at all if two old friends got together to talk about their grandkids and their golf game and things of that nature, because oftentimes, as you well know, those that talk about their grandkids and golfing and just catching up socially could talk for hours, and it would have no significance except the two old friends were Attorney General Loretta Lynch and former U.S. President Bill Clinton, whose wife, by the way, is running for president and who is being investigated for criminal activity by the Attorney General Loretta Lynch. That makes it a bit more noteworthy, don't you think? The two apparently met for a half an hour aboard Lynch's plane as it sat on the tarmac in Phoenix, the president, the former president, coming back from a round of golf. And she didn't even admit it until ABC 15, credit to them, to the local news team for figuring it out. She said, well, yeah, I did see him at the airport. I was leaving. He spoke to me and my husband on the plane, a conversation about grandchildren and social and our travels. Bull. And if you believe that, boy, I've got a bridge for sale for you. I mean, to be fair, Clinton and Lynch do have a history. It was President Clinton who, back in 1999, appointed Lynch to serve as the U.S. Attorney General for, the U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District. She left that for a private practice for a number of years in 2001, but was reappointed as a U.S. Attorney in 2010 by Barack Obama before he made her the top law enforcement officer in 2014. And I don't care. You have got to know. If you step out and do that, let me go to the National District Attorneys Association National Prosecution Standards book. I found this on the stream. The stream.org, a website that I think is terrific. You should go check it out for some of the stories on there. But in a story written by Al Parada, they have a bit of text here from the National District Attorneys Association National Prosecution Standards, and its section on conflict of interest, subsection 1, reads as follows. Conflict avoidance. A prosecutor should not hold an interest or engage in activities, financial or otherwise, that conflict, have a significant potential to create conflict, or are likely to create a reasonable appearance of conflict with the duties and responsibilities of the prosecutor's office. This is a textbook case. The attorney general meets with the husband of a woman who is under intense personal examination. She meets with the husband, the man that appointed her to the job originally. While she is currently investigating that man's spouse for criminal activity, that man's spouse is running for president of the United States, and they expect you and I to believe they were talking golf and grandkids. I'm sorry. Really? And the beauty of it all is they're in there talking about what they're really talking about, whatever that may have been. Nobody pays attention. Clinton voters will continue, well, she did nothing wrong. They were just talking about grandkids, and I believe her. I'm sure you do. The hotline, 888-900-9966. Matt hanging out. on the hotline. Matt, welcome to the program.
Yeah, it's a post-constitutional America and tipping into a third world America. That's what I believe we're doing right now. I wanted to say something about your Volkswagen deal. They went after Volkswagen more than they went after General Motors with the key ignition switch that killed people, because global warming is a sacred thing to them, so they have to prosecute this thing with the Volkswagen stuff.
No, well, there's no question. I mean, did you see Obama and Trudeau and the president of Mexico yesterday come out, and they've had this big American summit where they want to talk about integrating our, you know, our finances and integrate our trade. And but the two most important things right off the top, LGBTQ rights, because apparently that, you know, apparently that's primarily the most important thing out there. And number two, and very close, of course, global warming, because without that, you know, what the hell would they have to talk about? But these are the two most critical things facing you and I today, apparently.
Yeah, they don't talk about sovereignty. You notice that? They don't talk about
patriotism. They don't like sovereignty. I mean, John Kerry's out there talking about a borderless world. That's what they want.
Right.
They just want a borderless world, a microchip in your hand, and you just go from wherever to wherever to wherever. And I throw the microchip out there because, you know, you got to have some sort of identification. You can't just pass around freely. You know the deal. You have to be identifiable so they can keep you, keep track of you. How do they make money off you and keep in power if they can't keep track of you in some fashion?
Hmm. Yeah, factual. But I wanted to say one more thing about Trump. He needs to say, listen, I may not be the president you may want, but I'm a problem solver. I'm not a politician. I am a problem solver. And we have a lot of problems. And she has done nothing but make more problems.
Matt, thanks for checking in.
Yep.
It's Thursday here on the program, the 4th of July right around the corner. And you talk about, he said it's a post-constitutional America. There's a lot of truth to that. There is a lot of truth to that. If Hillary Clinton becomes president, the Constitution will be much less significant going forward. I mean, let's be frank. They don't teach much constitutional fact and law to kids these days anyway. It would only confuse the issue when they're trying to run roughshod over the whole deal. If Hillary Clinton becomes president, the Second Amendment, they won't just eliminate so-called assault weapons. A whole host of weapons will be under attack. The right to carry a concealed pistol will be eliminated, maybe not in Michigan immediately, in Ohio and some of the other states that have that, which is all the states, by the way. But it will be gone quickly in places like California and Illinois and New York, and from there they'll continue to creep into other states and wait for their opportunities. As the pendulum swings, they'll wait for their opportunities for more left-leaning state legislatures and so forth to take away the Second Amendment. Hate speech and other things will outline the decline of the First Amendment, the attack on those that, you know, publish dissenting views on climate change and so forth, being prosecuted, a good example of what's going on with the First Amendment, because after the Second Amendment goes, the First is soon to follow. I've told you that many times. It is the truth. Once the Second Amendment goes, the First is soon to follow, and then the Fifth, and then the Fourth, and then what do you have left? Judges telling you how to live and what's acceptable, not the Constitution. You must stand up. You must be heard. It's the Steve Gruber Show.